This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This is KJ and Lyons. KJ Carson and John Lyons right now on WEEI.
Everybody will be watching. It's the matchup we've been waiting for. Tatum versus bum-ass Olympic head coach. It's KJ and Lyons, WEEI, 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. Look, John, Jason Tatum's going to have to kind of go at it alone because the other person in the revenge factor, Jaylen Brown, is out for tonight. But I think we're all wondering how much can Tatum go for? And then the other side of it is, do you think someone like Draymond Green is going to also try and make a statement to not let that happen?
So, KJ, I don't think Draymond Green's necessarily going to try to make a statement for it not to happen per se. But I think the Tatum going for big numbers could be a real thing, especially with Jaylen Brown. We saw just the other night, he had 28 points total, but 26 in the first half against Atlanta. So if he kind of keeps his foot on the gas pedal in a whole second half, or at least most of a second half in this game, unlike he did against Atlanta because they were up by so much, I could see him having a really big game. And that's the thing with Jason Tatum. He might not come out and do like Jaylen Brown, I would expect to come out, throw down some dunks, and stare down Steve Kerr, kind of like he did with Grant Hill earlier in this season in the broadcast booth. I don't think Tatum will do any of that stuff, but I could see him trying to get 30 and trying to get 40 and really make a statement in that way.
Well, you got to be careful of the quiet ones. That's what they always say, right?
Jaylen Brown. That's what they say about me and you, right?
Well, you're the quiet one? Oh, if they only knew,
yeah,
right?
Right?
Look,
yeah, we're on the radio, but we're quiet.
No, I'm talking about, like, you know, in terms of people, like, John is a yapper in real life, right? But this is real life, too. But with Jaylen Brown, he would state what he wants to, his intention, right? He'll state his intention. I think in that cut you just heard there from Jason Tatum, he's like, yeah, it's a rematch from a couple years ago and all those things that people said about him. Yeah, it'd be good to see some of the other guys. I hadn't seen him in it. Steph Curry, just saw him this summer. Sat there on a bench against Sudan wondering, like, why am I not playing? Look, I think Jason Tatum is stewing. And I do wonder if he comes out with it subliminally and then eventually, because here's what I think Tatum will go for a big night. I think he might go for 40 tonight. And I'd love to see 50 to stick it to Kerr. But it has to start with him getting to the paint and getting the calls. I think if he's able to get to the line, get to the hole, get the hoop in the harm and so forth, get some of those other bodies out of there, then he can do his full bag of tricks that he wants to do later in the game, especially if you can get Draymond in a situation, because Draymond is going to go up against Tatum. And I think he's going to, because think about, you remember what he did to Jaylen Brown when he grabbed him in the Yahoos in the NBA Finals? Remember that?
And there was, that little, incident, but like that little back and forth between them.
Right, like how many potato chips do you have to grab in a bag before you crunch them all, right? So expect something like that. I think Draymond knows the moment right now. I think it's really good that both of these teams are two of the hottest teams in the NBA. Both teams are, Celtics 7-1, They're 6-1. Golden State is a little bit better than I thought Golden State would be.
They're also 4-0 on the road.
Right. So they kind of have this fountain of youth going with them that might be trying to gel. And then now in the seat of the champions, Golden State knows what this game is like. This used to be, because think about it, this might be the first time that Golden State at Celtics tickets, maybe just a little bit cheaper because they're no longer the champions. The Celtics are. And so now it's kind of like, how do the teams take their roles reversed? And this is where you might see a little bit of emotion on the court with Golden State to try and make a statement to say, just because you've won one doesn't mean you're us.
Yeah, and that's another piece of this, KJ, is that it's actually setting up to be a good game, right? Not just the Tatum revenge thing, the Steve Kerr angle, this and that, right? Like the Warriors are third in the NBA in points per game on offense, second in the NBA in points per game on defense, second in the NBA in net rating. I mean, these are that's the ballpark the Celtics have been living in for the last year and a half, right? So they're right there with the Celtics. They've been one of the most impressive teams coming into this game. And also, they've kind of done it in a different way. Like, Buddy Hield is their leading scorer. Kevon Looney's been great for them this year. So, yeah, it's the Warriors, it's Kerr, it's Steph. But now they have other pieces that are making big contributions. So this, to me, is setting up to be, beyond the Tatum revenge thing, which is the biggest story, I think it could be an actual really good game just on the court.
617-779-7937. Text line 37937. KJ and Lions. WEEI still to come. We got the Lions Den. We've got Would You Rather More Likely To, Either Or. And we have the debut of The Young or The Clueless. It's an homage to our love for Young and the Restless here on the show. That's still to come. You mentioned where the Celtics rank in different, where Golden State ranks in different areas. Guess how where the Celtics rank in free throws and free throw attempts in the league?
Where?
Two.
Okay.
So this is, but yet with two point attempts, they're 19th. So this is one of those situations where I think Golden State is going to want you to shoot so much from the outside, because I don't know if Golden State's still that team that you can beat with the outside three. As great as the Celtics are at shooting the three and how the volume that they put up, I just don't think you want to find yourself with Steph Curry going off for something else. So make Steph Curry defend. Make those Drew Holiday, Derek White, make those guys defend you, because if you've got to pull Steph Curry out of the game with two fouls early on, then really who is Golden State? Who's their offense out there outside of hoping Buddy Hield can continue to stay hot? I would take my chances on Buddy Hield trying to lead the offense than Steph Curry making another memory. Because do you need another memory from Steph Curry here? That's the other thing you got to watch out for. It's like, damn, what if Steph tries to go for 50 on the sneak? Would that not grate our nerves here?
And that's another piece of this, KJ. Golden State's one of the few teams in the league that can actually shoot the three ball with the Celtics. I mean, Celtics lead the league. They take 19 threes per game. They make 19 threes per game on average. Golden State's making 16.5 per game. And their shooting percentage, Golden State from three, is actually a couple points better. So they're one of the few teams in the league that can match the Celtics in percentage, be in the ballpark when it comes to making threes per game, attempting threes per game. And of course, the Celtics model that they're doing now largely follows what the Warriors did 9 or 10 years ago, right? When they first became good, they first won that title, and then they continued it on. This is the model the Celtics have carried forward, and I think they've expanded on it, and they have a better maybe inside game than the Warriors have. So can the Celtics manufacture some extra points at the free throw line or down low? Because this is, again, one of those few teams in the NBA the three-point shot for three-point shot can at least kind of hang in the ballpark and maybe at times right there with the Celtics.
Yeah, if you're talking about the three-point shot, of course, Peyton Pritchard, sixth man of the year right now, is the leading candidate, averaging 16 a game. This is, if you can start getting things going in the middle, like you said, driving to the lane, and Pritchard is mixed in there, especially with Jaylen Brown not in there tonight, he's going to have access and opportunities to be in there more, a little more with the first team, right? So if you're able to dribble, drive, and kick out, and Pritchard is wide open, this is one of those games you've heard me talk about it all season. If this is a game where he can show his mettle, he did it against Milwaukee at home, and that was one of those passing tests, not so great in Indiana, even though he helped the team get back into that game. But this is that game. If he can hit those shots against Golden State, it only adds to the impressiveness that you've seen from Peyton Pritchard so far this season.
Yeah.
So that's the other thing you hope for, is that with no Jaylen Brown, you say, okay, 20-something points are going to be missing, so clearly Peyton Pritchard has to be on board and has to be ready to lock and shoot, and I think he will be, but a lot of it's going to be contingent on at least digging in the paint first, because if you're trying to do everything from the perimeter, all Golden State knows how to do really is perimeter D, right? So that's going to be an opportunity for Pritchard to really put himself, it's like really a double statement game, right? Pritchard in the sixth man of the year award. It's a national game. And of course you got Tatum who's going for the MVP. And I think this is one of those statement games that people will look at for in terms of his conversation in the MVP race. So it's crazy. Here we are at game 9 in the season. And yet it's a very important game for a couple of guys on this team in terms of their narrative as the season goes on.
And Pritchard's really started that over the last couple games with Jaylen Brown out. He had 22 points in the second game against Charlotte, 18 points in the game against Atlanta the other night. And to your point about him doing different things, he hit 7 shots against Atlanta, but only 3 of them were from 3. So he had 4 shots, obviously, from 2-point range, hit a free throw as well. So he did some different things. He had a huge impact on that game. And he's one of those guys that, when you have a Jaylen Brown, and let's also add in, right, like Kristaps Porzingis isn't there. So when you have two of your top guys not playing, Pritchard's the guy that has the skills, has the shooting ability, has the offensive game that he can make a big impact. And if he's able to follow up these games against Charlotte and Atlanta, and to your point, do it on a national stage against the Warriors in a high-profile game, then all of a sudden his standing for sixth man of the year, I think, takes a big step forward. And it feels like it's been slowly taking steps forward throughout the early part of this season, but tonight could be a big step forward in that case if he follows up the last two nights with another big game.
Are you going to have like a Blue Chew moment when you hear Mike Breen go bang, bang tonight, like when he does that on the game?
I already shut the volume off on the TVs in here.
Come on, bro, your hormones are raging over this bang thing. Bang! Yeah. You love that
bang. I'm going to keep
banger.
Texting you that
see,
thing.
See, that's
that meme.
My point, right? It's like now some inside baseball here, right? Yeah. Bang! I'm like, John, okay. The first bang, I got it. Now it's like bang, 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 bang. It's just bang, bang.
No, I shut the volume off on the TVs in here, so
there
I
you
would
go.
Avoid that.
Same
for the good
watching
of the show.
The same TV here. 7:30.
For the good of the show.
The game tips off at 7:30 tonight. It's a national game. It'll be fascinating to watch. Stay here with KJ and Lyons. While we won't be doing play-by-play, we will probably catch it right at about halftime and kind of discuss what we've seen, score, what is happening. Hopefully it's like one of those blowouts. John, my concern is when I think back to that first Charlotte game, where in one of the quarters they gave up like almost like it was like 31 points in the quarter.
It might have been a 40-point quarter. I
think it was 41.
I'd have to look off the top of my head, but I think it was 40, yeah.
40 points in that, I think, in a second quarter.
Sounds right.
Right. This is, at some point, the Celtics have to kind of get back to that two-year-ago defense. And again, it's early on in the season, but this would be the game to say, hey, can we keep Golden State under 27 points, 25 points per quarter? Like, let's keep – it's going to be tough, but let's see if we can keep them to under 30. Let's start with under 30. If they can get to 27, then you're looking at, what, 108? Then you would feel like, okay, what the Celtics do, and even with some issues and maybe even with some people missing, they could win this game 112-108. But the key is going to be the defensive effort has to be there, knowing that 20 points – let's just say Pritchard does what he normally does, which is going to be about 15 a game. So you're going to be maybe about 10 points off. Maybe you'll get 2 or 3 of those points. Maybe you get 4 or 5 of those points made up by somebody else. But you're still probably going to lose 5 points off of your total. So let's say 5 off of 112 would be 117. So now you're getting closer to what a Celtics score final score would be, around 120. So if they can keep it down to about 112 to 105, 107, somewhere in there, that would say to me that the Celtics team really locked in defensively and that none of Golden State's players were really able to go off.
And the Celtics defense has been good this year. They're 4th in defensive rating in the league, but last year they were top 3 all year, top 2 for most of the year. So it's been good, but not quite as dominant as last year. And as we
probably
saw,
Porzingis not being there part of it.
That's a great point, right? And not quite as dominant as parts of that playoff run last year. So can they make a statement? Because this is a Golden State offense. I think, without looking at the schedule in front of me, I think it's the best offense they've played all year. Again, top 3 points per game offense. You have Curry, you have Buddy Hield playing well. Can they play against a great offense, right? This isn't the Hawks with Trae Young not playing part of the second half that you're holding to 93. It's not the Hornets.
Dribble, dribble, dribble.
Right,
dribble.
Right. It's the Warriors. So can you go head-to-head with a great offense without Jaylen Brown, without Porzingis, and still play really good defense? I'm not expecting them without those two guys to play elite defense tonight. That'd be unreasonable. But can you play really good to good defense without those two guys? And like you said, if you score 105, hold them to 100. Or if you score 110, hold them to 106. Or 110, right? Hold them just below. Make the key defensive plays when you need to. I think that's something worth watching tonight.
KJ and Lyons, 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. We'll look around the NBA to see how some of these teams are starting their season out. And John and I, we might have to take a mea culpa of some of these teams we mentioned at the start of the season. But right now, it's time to trend with Zach Coe.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Timeout Market Boston. Celtics return home for a matchup against Steve Kerr and the Warriors. Jaylen Brown will be absent for tonight's game as he continues to nurse a nagging hip injury. Tip-off from the Garden set for 7:30. Bruins fell back into their old habits last night, falling to the Maple Leafs 4-0. Leafs scored 3 power play goals on 7 attempts. Bees will return home tomorrow for a matchup with the Flames. Puck drop from the Garden set for 7. Patriots return to the practice field today ahead of Sunday's matchup against number 1 pick Caleb Williams and the Chicago Bears. Safety Kyle Duggar was absent with an ankle injury. Limited participants included Marte Mapu, Keon White, and Layden Robinson. Pats will take on the Bears on Sunday afternoon. Kickoff from Soldier Field at 1 p.m. Timeout Market Boston. Experience the essence of Boston's culinary and cultural scene at Timeout Market Boston, nestled in the Fenway. From live music sessions to food and beverage tastings and everything in between, Timeout Market Boston showcases the best of the city under one roof. My name is Zach Coe, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com. More KJ and Lions coming up after this.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, 3-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We're back to KJ and Lyons on WEEI.
John, I've come dressed for the part with a Grateful Dead shirt on and my college hat, matching the yellow bear in my shirt up the middle. It's KJ and Lyons, WEEI, 617-779-7937. We're here till 10 o'clock, but we're going to be talking Celtics here for the next 20, 30 minutes, and then we'll get into Would You Rather, More Likely To, and then explain why I wasn't here yesterday. That's coming in 20 minutes. John, we've been talking about the Celtics, and obviously we talked about their matchup against Golden State tonight. Celtics 7-1, Golden State 6-1. But when the season started, we looked at different teams of who would be a threat to the Celtics, right? So you would have to say, outside of a team being undefeated, the Celtics should be on top of things. There's literally an 8-0 team right now in the Cavs. I don't know if that lasts very long. But how are you feeling right now of the team you thought would be the biggest threat to the Celtics, the 76ers, 1-5, and Joel Embiid, not only held out for the first three games on rest, then gets suspended for three games for his shoving incident with a reporter in the locker room in Philadelphia.
Yeah, not great. It's been a really bad start for them. They're sitting there at 1-5, 0-3 at home, a -8 point differential. And this was the thing coming into the year, and I think you made the case as well when we were talking about this, that so much of them depends on health, right? And we've already seen Paul George a little banged up to start the season, and Bede coming out and saying he's not playing back-to-backs to begin with, even before the season started. Of course, now you have this other incident, which it's a side issue. I thought the reporter went kind of way over the line with his column, but then Embiid pushed him and now gets suspended for 3 games, and they're sitting at 1-5. So it's been a really bad start to the year. I mean, it's only 6 games, but it does not look like a team that's on the same page and ready to realistically challenge in the East, at least not yet.
Well, you know, with the 76ers issue, and I guess I'll get to this reporter situation here, because that's the reason why it's become such a balloon situation with them, is this not the society that we're in now? Like, I really feel for writers that, you know, work for news organizations, newspapers and stuff like that, because the dynamic has changed so much. You think about, like, you know, like, oh, I've got the little press man thing on my hat. I'm in the locker room, and can I get an important quote from you that I can put in the paper? Man, how many generations ago was that?
Yeah, 3. And,
right,
four, yeah.
Right. So now you've got guys who are like, please, I got to say something. My clicks are down this month. I'm not getting engagements. They're on me about my social media. And then you put something in there about his dead brother and equating it to what's going on right now.
And his son, too.
Right. Right. And so it's crazy, because at one time in those 3 times ago, you wanted to have a semi-positive relationship with those players so that way you could tell a real story. Like, there shouldn't be any animosity as you walk into the room unless you were telling something truthful about your play, right? If you can stick to, hey, this is really lazy of Embiid, you're better off saying, I'm tired from the Olympics. NBA might kind of co-opt you a bit, you know, and now you have an injury and so forth. But then when you start going into this realm, it's almost kind of like you're more worried about your dinner table as you're writing the story than you are about respecting the subject that you're writing about. It's we're really at a low ball spot. And you hear me say this sometimes, John, even we conversate off air. Like, a lot of these guys don't have an entertainment bone. They actually need comedy writers to be kind of funny. So when they go for the shock, it's really, oh. Yeah. You like that. It's like, oh, that was just tasteless. You're not funny. It doesn't add to the story. It doesn't connect. And so I think the media relationship with the 76ers team is probably going to be the biggest story in the NBA outside of what the Celtics can do. And it's sad, but at the same time, I'm not surprised, right? It almost feels like, Paul George, hurry up, get back out there. Because I'm thinking, like, and doesn't it seem weird to you? How do you sign a guy to a big deal and then he can't play his first game? Like, maybe you shouldn't have signed him to the big deal? I don't know. It's like, why would I hire you to lift something and I discover that you have no arms?
And lost in this is Tyrese Maxey, a guy we talked right. heavily about, has been awesome. He's averaging right. 30 points a game. I think that's first or second in the NBA. I mean, 4 assists per game, too. I mean, he's played awesome basketball to start the year, but it's just been overshadowed by all these other things. And the fact that a team that at least I thought could not challenge the Celtics per se, but was the biggest or one of the biggest threats to them, at least I didn't think they'd beat them, but at least threaten them, is 1-5. I mean, they've been bad. And it's, again, Maxey's played great, but all these other things have just overshadowed it. Now they're sitting there 1-5.
Well, that's what I've said about Maxey, is what happens when he starts to become the guy that's the most valuable and gets treated the least valuable because of Embiid out there. Embiid obviously is going to want to share with him and so forth, but Paul George is feeling like he's probably got to prove his contract, and he was about, I mean, it's just an absolute mess in Philly. Think about this. They're 5 games behind the Celtics, and the way the Celtics are built, they may never catch the Celtics, and we're not even 10 games into the season.
Yeah, you know, it's crazy. There's only 2 teams in the East that have winning records. Like, right. The East as a whole is not good. I mean, Brooklyn's 500. The Knicks and Heat are 500. But all these other teams, I mean, Indiana, who beat the Celtics, well, they're 3-4. The Magic, you know, I'm high on the Magic. I like them, but they're 3-5. I mean, Milwaukee, 1-6. Like, there's not a lot of good teams in the East right now.
Well, that gets me to the other team that I was kind of high on, which were the Bucks. I thought the Bucks could make a run. But I again, keep in mind, when the Celtics beat the Bucks at home last week, I think the Bucks have reeled, right? Like, they've lost every single game since they played the Celtics.
They've lost six in a row.
They've lost six in a row. Yeah, so they went. I think
that
they
was either the first or the second game.
Right.
They won opening night against Philly.
I want to say that the first game of their six-game losing streak they're in is against the Celtics. I think that could be, or the game after.
Yeah, it's one of those first couple, because I know they won opening night against Philly, and then they started losing. The Celtics loss was their third one in the streak. So they lost to Chicago, then Brooklyn, then the Celtics. And they've lost every game. They've lost back-to-back games, one-possession games to Cleveland, too. Those are tough losses.
So these are two teams that you figured, and maybe not so many as much as Milwaukee, but I thought Milwaukee would say, okay, this is our last chance to make a run at the Celtics. But because you can't get Chris Middleton in the game, it's very much like the Patriots situation that they have. You don't have enough talent on there to get a big bang return. Like, you know, like there's nobody on the Patriots that's going to yield
you
a third
round. The
only
guy they could trade for a big return is Giannis. But then at that point, you're not contending.
Right, but then you're not really talking about the Bucks. So Chris Middleton, I think, was the idea of, hey, this guy can get healthy, show that he could play some games. We can get him to a team that doesn't see themselves as a contender or may have a couple of young players that need more time that we could provide and we feel like can contribute. Like, Oklahoma City would have been ideal where you could say, hey, you can get SGA another scorer. You don't have to depend on the amount of minutes. Because remember, that's where they brought in Gordon Hayward to see, like, hey, can you do something? And you realize, like, bro, the warranty on that expired like 10 years ago. But the Bucks now can't even do that. And so if you're the Celtics, you have to feel like, hey, and this is why you've heard me say this, John. When these opponents come up on your schedule, you actually have to decimate them as well as possible because you never know what type of effect it will have on them. Look where the Bucks are, right?
Well, the Bucks were up 80-79 in the third quarter of that game. Celtics went on like an 18-2 run.
Right.
And the Bucks have never recovered from that.
Right. Like, have not recovered as a team.
And that was like a week and a half ago, and they haven't recovered from that.
Right. We may be talking about Doc Rivers could be gone by Thanksgiving. And the whole thing about last year was getting rid of the guy before.
Bickerstaff, was that who it was?
No, the guy who was...
I should know that, but...
Because they chose to not hire
Charles Lee. And that's what I remember. And Charles Lee came to the Celtics and won a title, so...
Yeah, it was the, so the guy they got rid of...
Was
they
it
got
David
rid of
David Griffin or something?
Something like that, yes. And so they get rid of him.
Adrian Griffin, that's it. That came from David next to me. That wasn't me.
Oh, yeah, Zach's intern.
I was going to say, you want to clarify that pause, that David, the producer in training next to you?
Yeah.
Yes.
I know. How about Zach, man? Gets an intern? I'm impressed.
Bro, they're cycling him in, you know. Zach, I guess the great thing is...
Don't ruin my narrative.
And here's the thing, and this is about the producers. It's funny because I've seen how, like, Joe Braverman has come through, and Turpin used to be my producer when I was doing EEI late
Turpin's
night.
Turpin's way too cool for us now.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. I mean, did you buy a second
I say that as somebody that he came on the show last night, but he's still too cool for us.
Well, the thing is, they've all had their first night, right? Like, somehow it was just like, work with KJ because KJ will work you on. We'll work you over.
Whoa.
Pause. All right, watch out, David. And so all of them had, like, their gaff the first night. So they all remember, like, I think Braverman, well, I don't want to say what happened because I don't want to snitch on him, but Braverman left the mic open trying to figure something out. And I was just like, did he just say that over the air? So, but to see how far these guys have come, I'm very proud of Braverman and Turpin and Zach
as an intern now.
And Jacob, right? And so seeing them all come through, I guess I'm just really the janitor here at WEEI.
I played an ad from YouTube on my first show with you.
I think that's what it was.
Yeah,
but you didn't pull a Braverman, which is a whole different...
Jacob had the toughest first show ever because his first ever show as lead producer was the night the Celtics won the championship when we were on for six straight hours, right?
I think he had some issues with his kidney when he's drinking all those Red Bulls.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Definitely. I don't know if he's recovered yet.
He hasn't slept yet.
Yeah.
Well, if he actually... He then revealed to us, I think, on a Sunday show how he sleeps very easily. But that little spot over there across from Dunk's over there on the Brighton side. Look, you have to feel good if you're the Celtics in terms of all these other teams, even the Knicks at 3-3. They were another team that I thought would be kind of in the face of the Celtics, but it really comes down to, like, it's the Celtics and see what Cleveland does. And as long as the Celtics don't look in a rearview mirror. I mean, how many games did they win the East last 14 year?
14 last year. And this has kind of materialized the way we talked about it before the season, that the best teams besides the Celtics are in the West.
Yep.
I mean, and if you want to put the Cavs in there, that's fine. They're 8-0 and they're a good team. But if you look at the West, I mean, Oklahoma City's undefeated. Phoenix is finally what I've been hoping for 2 years. They're finally playing well. Golden State tonight, they're 6-1. I mean, the West has, what, 8 teams with winning records, and the East has 2. So it's all the good teams outside of the Celtics are all in the West.
Yeah. Again, Cleveland.
I shouldn't disrespect Cleveland like that.
Well, because I've seen the Cleveland movie before. The last few years, like, watch out for Cleveland. They're a tough team. Remember at one point, I think they were on their way, on the path to being like the number 2 seed in the East. And then it dropped, and I think they ended up being like the 4 seed.
I think if Donovan Mitchell and Jared Allen had been fully healthy last year, that would have been the toughest series for the Celtics.
The better series?
Yeah, it would have gone 6. And don't, the Celtics would have won, but it would have gone 6. It would have been hard fought, whereas it ended up being Indiana was the hardest fought series despite it being a sweep. But I think it would have been Cleveland if those guys had been healthy. And so far this year, Cleveland's been healthier, and they're 8-0.
I would say through this whole stash of teams that are 3-3 or 3-4, probably the one, and don't laugh when I say this, the Pacers have a winning record since they hung up their JV banner of beating the Celtics, right? They start off the season 1-3. They're now 3-4. So I think they're probably the one team that can come out of these negative doldrums that seem to be realistic.
They're legit. They went to the conference finals. And we've even said, I know it sounds like an oxymoron, but it was a sweep, but that was the Celtics' toughest series. Like, 3 of those 4 games were close. One was overtime. Others came down to the very last possession. So, like, that is a really good team. So, yeah, I would imagine that they can dig themselves out.
I'm going to say this about the Pacers. Was it the magic pixie dust last year of beating both the Bucks and the Knicks to get to the Celtics?
And it helped. Those teams were hurt. Yeah,
right.
That game 7 against the Knicks, it felt like no one was playing.
Right. Jalen Brunson suddenly's like, Jalen Brunson has gone home. You know, like, it was done. So the Pacers still have something to prove. I think they can prove it. But this reminds me very much, and I'm not saying that the Celtics are the Chicago Bulls of the mid-90s. There's no way I can do that.
They're the Warriors of 10 years ago, though.
Well, no, here's the thing, because until the Celtics go to other places and sell out their arenas because they're in town, that's when you start getting in the conversation.
I don't know if they're quite there yet.
No, because I saw that Hornets game on Friday night. I was just like, okay, Tatum and Brown are in town for probably
Brown played Friday night too, right? That was the game he got hurt in.
For one of the cheaper tickets, this is probably one of the cheapest tickets you're going to pay to see the Celtics
anywhere
in the country.
I think it would be cheaper, and I'm sorry to cut you off, to get on a plane, fly down to Charlotte, get a hotel, and buy a ticket to that game than to buy a ticket to tonight's Celtics Warriors game.
Okay, that's New England snob right there. Because
there was like $20 to go to that game on Friday in Charlotte.
Oh, okay, yeah. So you're going to pay you're going to do all of that just to see them from the top of the arena?
Hey, to prove my point, I think I might.
That defeats the point.
Maybe in a couple weeks I'll go down and see him against Washington.
You know
just
what
to
that's
prove
like?
My point.
That's like getting married and at the altar they say you now can kiss your bride, and because you guys have kissed all the time, you shake her hand. Like, no, you don't.
I should have done that.
No, you wouldn't be
dap
alive. Well, you could do that on the dance floor at the reception. Yeah. KJ and Lyons, WEEI. 617-779-7937. Text messages 37937. Still to come, would you rather more likely to either or what happened last night? And we got to talk about the Patriots and all that movement they made at the trade deadline yesterday. That's next on WEEI.
This is KJ and Lyons on WEEI.
KJ and Lyons on your Wednesday here on WEEI. If you missed any of the show, the Odyssey app is free. Just type in WEEI. It brings you right to WEEI at night. You can listen to chapter by chapter, break by break. And of course, got a smart speaker. Say, hey, Alexa, play WEEI FM Boston. It'll bring you right here. I was not here last night. So first I have to say, Zach, thank you. John, thank you. Shime, thank you. Yesterday, my daughter had a seizure in the morning, and we were in the ER all day. So the professional in me was like, okay, if we get out of here by 3, do the math, traffic. I was like, I'll wait before I tell him anything. And then she just stayed asleep. So that's why I wasn't in yesterday. And by time getting her home and recovered and everything, which she has. She's doing more. She's doing well today. Oh my God.
Good to hear.
Yeah, it's tough as a dad when your kid is sick, but it's, for those who don't know, I have a daughter with cerebral palsy. She's 13 now. And so sometimes she will have episodic seizures. And one, you never know when they're coming. And two, you never know how big they may get. And so thankfully, I was able to pick her up, get in the car, get to ER and stuff like that. And now, you know, by this afternoon, she was just like, can you do this for me? Can you do? I'm thinking, okay, this kid's back to normal. But it can be tough when your kid is so out of it. She's such a joyous kid. She's always talking. She lights up the room. Some of her teachers here who are hearing this, they'll be like, oh, we know Sarah. But when she's down and doesn't laugh at any of your jokes, that's how you know. Because she's the only one that finds any of my jokes, any of my dad jokes funny. The only one. And when she's not laughing at him, I was like, God, she must really not feel well. So thank you guys, Shime and everything, though. I have to ask Zach, did they butcher my Just the Jag feature? Did they butcher it?
No, I don't think they butchered it. We did miss your ad-libs in the
open. So I didn't realize. So this is so you know how when we play the theme song in the background, yeah, you hear KJ's voice and, well, he might suck or he's not. I thought that was part of the theme song. I didn't realize that was you just saying that. Because
you thought fries were free with the meal?
Well, because we started playing the song and I'm like, oh, where's that background comment from KJ? And then in my head, I'm like, should I say something? And then I was like, no, now the song's over, so it's too late. But yeah. So Shime didn't get quite the 100% full experience because those background comments from KJ might be my favorite part of the song.
I also didn't realize that those.
No, I was shocked. I was like waiting for them to come in, and I did notice that. Well, I noticed that the last time you and I did this, KJ, that the comments were a little different. Yeah. But then I was like, oh, did he just make a new updated version of the song? Like,
oh, I don't work that hard for the company.
Well, yeah, fair enough. Now I know, right? So then Zach's playing, and I'm like, well, there's no background comments. And I'm like, oh, that must have just been KJ the whole time.
It hit to the spot. It got to the spot where it was like, he might suck. I was like, wait, where is it?
There was nothing. There was just music for like a split second. I was like, whoa.
So then the good news is you didn't butcher it. No. You just didn't have the butcher to cut the prime cut of meat for you that you're used to.
No,
so.
See, basically what it was is the Just a Jag with KJ is the Mona Lisa. And oh, what you. Ours was a picture of the Mona Lisa.
I made Lisa
that you
scream a couple of times, too. But
yeah. Ours was just a picture of the Mona Lisa that you show to friends. Oh, this is what I saw when I went there. And it's not, you know, it's not the
you
same.
Totally when it's in the Mona same Lisa, thing. I made her scream a few times.
Yeah, I heard that. Yeah,
you know, you can get away with those jokes again now.
No, I don't.
I mean, that is one of the perks, I think, that's going to start to change a little bit. Is, you know, maybe I could get a little bit more, you know, ribald with some things. Just because the environment of where it
is. We should do a segment that just says, what's the worst thing I can say? Ken will walk in here and
here's a fork and here's a 120 volt socket. Yeah. Who gets shocked first?
Zach's going to send his intern in here and shut me up.
Look, the second round, you have to lick the fork first and then stick it in the socket just to see if it takes. Yeah,
how long until we get an FCC complaint?
Well, I don't know. I mean, the way things may be shaping out, we could do whatever we want and say nothing. It's infringing upon my First Amendment right to say bad words. Yeah, right. Janet Jackson ruined that for everybody.
You know what? If you can get convicted of a felony and become president, we could probably say the F word on the air.
See, this is the talent that I have.
We could probably say the F word on the air. I think that equates, right?
No. You know? No, but when Janet Jackson was revealed by Justin Timberlake during the Super Bowl, for those who don't know, all these stations around the country got this equipment called a delay.
Yeah, isn't it 7 seconds?
Eight second delay.
It's 8 seconds, okay.
Eight seconds. Everybody got this thing called a delay. And I'm thinking, showing a boob and
yeah, a lot why, of how does it takes how does a, like it a month delay.
Yeah, so
KJ,
so
your takes are 6 months behind. Is that the delay?
No, this is a very forward facing show. Like
it really
even
is.
Financial people would love this show because they say this show is a great predictor and future. I mean, like sometimes listen to Greg Hill's show like 4 days after you've heard KJ Lines. And you'll hear a little bit of KJ. Am I lying?
Easy.
I said well, in this new environment, we
now
can
that
start
we had Shime on last night, I want to wait and see if we are just.
If
a
I
jag
hear Just a Jag, I'm telling you right now, Leo Birmingham Parkway is going to be on fire.
That'd be great. You know, I would like that. Imagine if they did a version with like Shime and Wiggy just singing Just a Jag. But
you know
so
what? You know what?
You.
You know what it would sound like? It would sound like someone sprinkling raisins in the potato salad in live time. That's
how that
it would
is go. A oddly specific.
3793.
I kind of want to just play the Just a Jag theme song later tonight. Because
didn't
KJ
both of you tell me that you were in the cars and heard the original song and thought that
I didn't know what the song was because my music tastes are just very specific. So I didn't really know. And all of a sudden I was going
current hip hop. People would believe
basically
it,
right? Gangsta rap. Yeah. But so I'm going through the radio and like I think I was listening to this station and it went to commercial. And so I went over to a music station and I hear this like melody and it says like Just a Girl, whatever. And I'm like, oh, wait, is this Just a Jag? Because it was, I'm like, this, and I'm picture, and then I was like thinking in my head, your voice singing to that tune. And I'm like, yeah, this is Just a Jag. This is it.
Yeah, I did the same thing. My girlfriend played the song, and I was sitting there singing along with Just a Jag, and she was like, what on earth are you singing? I was like, oh.
And then he's like, he might suck. Poisoned your mind.
Yeah, his girlfriend's like, what are you singing? And Zach just goes, he might suck.
Yeah, don't say that, Zach. She said, like, what did you say to me? Yeah. 37937. We're 2 minutes away.
He's not worth
away
that contract.
What do we have on the text line?
Someone asks, who do you think Tatum should have played over? He doesn't play defense, and that is needed in the Olympics because everyone is juiced up to try to beat the U.S.
How about Anthony Edwards when he started struggling and missing everything in the arena? Like,
I was thinking Devin Booker, and I know Tatum didn't shoot. Remember this, like, we did post games in the finals. He didn't shoot that well in the finals from three. He wasn't shooting well in the Olympics, but I think as an overall defender, facilitator, and attacking the basket, he would have given them more than Devin Booker. Not that Devin Booker should not have played, but instead of Devin Booker getting, say, 20 minutes, it could have been, you know, 10 for Booker, 10 for Tatum, or some type of split along those lines.
That's a bit of communism there, isn't that? Like,
yeah, or even
you get 10 and you'll get 10. Look, Devin Booker was on fire in the Olympics, so if he's the hot hand, like, he would have been one of the guys that I wouldn't have pulled out. Steph Curry's another guy I wouldn't have pulled out. But if I see Anthony Edwards out there struggling, which he was doing over the course of one of those two games, I think it was against Croatia.
Because he called himself the number one option, but then like a few games later was pretty quick, like had a bad game or something.
Like if I can go to my bench and see that Jason Tatum is over there and he's fresh legs and everything, and look, watch this, can probably beat every guy out there on the court who's defending him. Why would I not put him in there when Anthony Edwards is struggling? So I'm not saying, hey, start bench cut. I'm just saying, you know, when someone's struggling, you've got an all NBA player waiting to get in there. And not to play him at all and to tell him ahead of the game, which I think was just an absolute malfeasance on Steve Kerr's part.
What would have happened in that game if all, like, just the crazy happened and they got down by, like, 25? Are you still not going to play him?
There was part of me that wanted to see them lose to Sudan, and then they'd turn around and say, I am now the captain. I am now the captain, you know, so that's a Tom Hanks movie.
Yeah, I know.
And they were Somalian pirates, right? Yeah.
It's what's the name? I forget the name of that movie, but it's a great movie.
Yeah, well, it's so great,
Captain Phillips. I went to a Celtics game and actually saw him there.
He was the Somalian that was on the ship.
It was Captain Phillips. Okay. The Hero Among Us award they give. Like, I just went to a game one night and he was the guy they gave it to. I was like, whoa, hey, Captain Phillips.
Nice big pizza pie on the lap. Was there not? I'm totally kidding. 37937. One more text, and then we'll get
bucket.
The Would You Rather. I love how the show goes off.
Would you rather have a bucket of tenders or one of those extra large slices?
We are just killing this quarter hour
tenders
here.
Tenders for sure. The pizza's too greasy.
You know, we should just replay this whole segment at 9:20 and I'll go home early.
That's not a bad idea. Just standby. It might be available at 9:40. Yeah, what do you got?
The Knicks are the greatest competition to the Celtics.
They did get a shooter. I did, but
like,
we'll see.
I am wondering, like, at some point you feel like they're going to hit their stride a little, right? Like, Karl-Anthony Towns got acquired so late, and it's like last year, Jrue Holiday got acquired late by the Celtics, but the rest of that team was fully intact, ready to go. Mazzulla was coming back. They had that chip on their shoulder. And this Knicks team is similar, right? Because they made a big trade earlier in the summer like the Celtics did with Porzingis, but the Celtics are able to hit the ground running so much better with Holiday than the Knicks have with Karl-Anthony Towns. And I just feel like at some point, maybe it'll be November, December, maybe not till January, they're going to hit their stride. How are they going to look then? I still don't think they have enough to overtake the Celtics, but I can foresee them being a lot better than they have been so far.
Yeah, I'm looking at the minutes per game for all these players. Bridges, 37, Josh Hart, 36, OG Anunoby, 36, Brunson, 34, Karl-Anthony Towns, 31. That's interesting because you would figure your new guy would be the one that you would be running probably at about 35, 36 minutes. So it'll be interesting how it all plays out with Tibbs, because that's the thing I'm going to look for. I totally agree. I think the Knicks are the ones that have best built themselves to challenge the Celtics. But I've always said, watch out for Tibbs. Tibbs is the guy that leaves the television on, the radio on, the kitchen, the sink on, and says, why is the bill so high? And I think that's what I'm looking for, to see if he runs his players so much that by time it comes time to play meaningful games late in the season, are these guys worn out? So maybe that's why you're seeing Cat play the reduction of minutes. But what about these other guys? I mean, Mikal Bridges is going to be the one that has to chase around Jason Tatum. You're doing 37 minutes every night. When do I get a break, boss? All right. Still to come, we're going to talk Patriots and what happened at the trade deadline. That's next. But right now, it's time for... Yeah! You know, we have like two some. Internationally...
Oh, wrong song. Sorry.
Would you rather more like the two?
Uh-huh.
Either or, I ask of you.
That's a feel.
You rather more like the two?
What?
Either or, I ask of you.
All right. Three questions. Would you rather, more likely to happen, an either or? They can be in anything, sports, life. Here we go.
All righty. Would you rather the Patriots trade down from the number one pick or trade the number one pick for Ja'Marr Chase and later round picks? No, Chase is on a one-year deal.
Yeah, I'm a big proponent of the trade down. I think you want to add a lot of young talent, and the easiest way to do that, especially high-end young talent, is trade down. And if you trade down, you're probably getting multiple first and second round picks back.
But you're not getting Ja'Marr Chase. Look, if there's an opportunity to trade the number one pick for Ja'Marr Chase and you may exchange a pick down the road, maybe you get their next year's number one, but get yourself down towards the top of the second round in this year, I would then say make that move, because I just find it very hard to find. How are you going to get that star receiver for Drake May without doing a trade? And the biggest trade piece that you have right now, if the season ended today, is that you have the number one pick. And Cincinnati, they may be looking at some defensive stud, or they may even use it to get multiple picks because their defense is horrible. I would look to trade for Ja'Marr Chase and give up that number one pick just because you would. I mean, Drake May and Ja'Marr Chase as a duo? Oh, that's sick. Next.
More likely to happen, Jason Tatum is the NBA MVP or Peyton Pritchard is the sixth man of the year.
John.
So I'm actually going to go Pritchard sixth man of the year here. And I think because they're going to rest Holiday at times this season, they're going to have limited minutes in some of their blowouts. He's going to get a chance to really shine and add up some points. And I think Tatum's going to be a victim to being on such a great team. We have seen, like, LeBron on the Heat did win an MVP. Steph won an MVP with the Warriors, multiple MVPs with the Warriors, I should say. So it's possible, but I just think the Celtics aren't going to get those types of awards until they win another championship.
See, I think it's more likely that Tatum wins the NBA MVP because I think they're waiting to tell his story this year. I think between SGA and Luka Doncic and Nikola Jokic out in the West, those are starting to become the same people that beat each other up and lose votes, right, in the West. But if you become the dominant team, dominate the entire conference for a second year in a row, and you've already won the championship, I think getting the MVP is just another thing added to it. I think Jason Tatum more likely to be the MVP than Peyton Pritchard wins the sixth man of the year, which you could do this for teams like, I mean, Malik Monk is always going to be in the conversation, and the Kings will never be in the conversation of competing big time. Final one.
Either get into a political argument with your boss at work, or get into an argument with your girl in front of her family.
Oh, Jesus.
So, you know how sometimes I like to add caveats to this?
Yes.
Which one do I have the stronger position? Like, if I have really good
position. Be careful now.
No, because I'm saying, like, if I can objectively, like, prove one of them wrong, or I've been.
So, my wife is the youngest of 12. And so there's no way I'm getting into an argument with her in front of her family. It's like the mob. There's like 50 of them. There's no way. But if it's a political argument with my boss, it doesn't mean I have to be in a different side. I could be on the same side with them and argue, you know what I mean, like a sidecar argument to keep my job. So, bro, I would rather get into a political argument with my boss on the upstairs on the first floor here than to get into an argument with my wife in front of her family. Are you kidding? Ask me to die right in front of you. And that is, would you rather more likely to either or? KJ and Lyons continues next on WEEI. Thanks for hanging out.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.